Welcome back to Breakthrough, Waking Up to the Real You. I am your host, Alejandra Vivanco. Thank you so much for joining me today on this Monday. So we are talking about The Four Agreements. The book is by Don Miguel Ruiz, and it's called, it's a practical guide to personal freedom. We're still following a little bit of the same line of self-help, self-healing, and different books will use different words, but we're all coming to the same conclusion. And it's about personal freedom. And the only person who has the key to opening the cell is you. Nobody can do it for you. People can assist you. People can help you. People can guide you. But it's ultimately your choice and your choice only to open that cell. So we're going to talk about today, we're going to talk about the first agreement. There's four. And the first agreement is be impeccable with your word. Speak with integrity. Say only what you mean. Avoid using the word to speak against yourself or to gossip about others. Use the power of your word in the direction of truth and love. Now, we have to like break it down a little bit. When it says speak what you mean or say only what you mean, sometimes we may believe that we get a pass to be nasty or mean or rude to other people because I'm going to say it like I mean it or I meant that. And the whole point of speaking, the whole point of the first agreement, that is be impeccable with your word. And we're going to talk about it more, but it's not about perpetuating negativity. Now, it doesn't mean that you cannot call it the way you see it, but it's coming from a place of resolve. It's coming from a place of truth. And when we call someone, let's say, you're a bitch or you're ugly, we have to acknowledge where that's coming from instead of just saying, I say, because I've said it before on this podcast, you know, some people can go fuck themselves and I say it and I mean it. And it's coming from a very truthful place because we're talking about abuse. Now, can I word it better? Yeah, absolutely. But I'm not there yet. And I can acknowledge that and I can make a goal for myself or make room for me to improve the way I communicate certain things. But again, no book is absolute. On a healing journey, not only you have to tend to your inner child, you also have to tend to your inner teen. And some things sometimes are going to come out the way they're going to come out. And once they're out, they're out. But you have to acknowledge that eventually you can communicate those thoughts or sentiments better. And it's about us evolving with that belief that we're going to grow into a full, fleshed out adult instead of still going back and forth in this narrative. Now, I'm not going to police speech. You can say whatever you want, however you want it. But we're specifically talking about the book. So we're giving the book some room, and then you get to choose how you are in the world, how you behave and how you act. So I don't want every single book that I touch for you to feel like, so basically have to be this idea of perfection and never say anything. No, it's just about acknowledgement. That's all. That's it. That's all. Because when I read it, I do get thoughts and I'm like, well, yeah, absolutely. I could have chose the words better. I could have done certain things. I could have chosen them better. I could have done certain things that are a little bit more aligned with, you know, an adult, or I could have said it differently, but I said it and I did it. And if you go back and just stay stuck on, oh, I should have done this, I should have done that, we're not making progress. It's not about punishing yourself because of what you said or did. It's just about acknowledgement awareness and moving forward. And if you do it again, you do it again, but you already know, because you will encounter somebody who's not going to allow that, and then you have to deal with that, and you cannot play victim and say, oh my God, la la la. No, you have to fully take ownership and responsibility for your words. So the first agreement, be impeccable with your word. So he says, depending upon how it's used, the word can set you free or it can slave you even more than you know. So we speak, we kind of, some people say, we manifest what we speak, the power of the tongue, what we speak can come true. And there is, to some extent, some validity to that. If I tell myself how dumb I am, how fat I am, how ugly I am, how stupid I am, every single thing that I do will be overshadowed, poisoned by those statements, because that's where I'm coming from. If I believe you ain't shit, then I'm gonna treat you as such. If I believe that I can change the world, and then my, again, it's about alignment with the words, and our behavior and actions align with what we're saying. And it has to come from a clear place, a very intentional place. It has to come from a place of resolve. We cannot speak and say, I'm going to change the world, I know better. And then all of a sudden, you already know how people that think that know better, they don't. And then we end up doing more damage than good. AKA, he cites the example of Hitler and how his words and the power of his words and how he would use the words, his words got in touch with people's fears. And then you already know what happened. So it's kind of like hypnotizing to watch him speak, because there is such poised, he's so poised and he's so firm, and he's kind of like an idea of like a firm father. And for some reason, people thought that whatever he was saying was a truth, a fact, gospel, and then they decided to just go ahead and do it. Now, there's two things here. One is the person who says the message. So the way Hitler talked, is the way that it's going to come out in a way that has power, and they can even hypnotize you with their words and how their energy, right? But then me, the receiver, has to have something in me that agrees with whatever he's saying. So nobody's a victim here, you know, as in the people who were a part of the Nazi movement. Nobody's a victim here. Everybody agreed to something, and they not only agreed to whatever he was saying, and something in them was aligned with whatever he said and how he was saying it. But furthermore, when they saw everything they did, you know, the guards and all that, again, you can go back and listen to The Choice by Dr. Eger. I've done that book, and she's an Auschwitz survivor. But everything he said made them just reassure themselves of whatever they believed in. So when they saw whatever they did to the prisoners, they could justify it in their mind. Or they were so afraid because they were so knee deep in the situation that they were like, well, fuck it, I'm just going to keep it going because I don't want to be on the other end. But the point is that how people speak has an impact, and also the words they use. That's why when it comes to politicians, they have to have a certain je ne sais quoi that makes them attractive to people. They have to have not only the right words to say, or they have to have the right energy, and that's how they communicate. Their energy is communicated by their words. Because right now, my country has a president that knows shit. Okay, but for some reason, he got in touch with something that was aligning with the message of the people that voted for him. Therefore, he is the president. So it's not about being the smartest person in the room. God knows that's true, because the president of my country is dumb as shit. Not only it's not about being the smartest person in the room. It's about being assertive with your words and how you communicate. Because if you cannot be smart or intelligent or prepared. You can be funny. You can be relatable. That's something that happens a lot in my country. If people that are very poor can find a way to relate to somebody that looks like them and has the same narrative, they will vote for them. And they don't have to be the smartest person in the room, the candidates. They only have to get in touch with that part of them that makes them feel like they are pushed to the side, which is true, unfortunately. So if I cannot reach to you through the words of my, because nobody ever talks about the plan yet, you know, how am I going to move this country forward? It's not just about the capital city, or it's not about just one region. It's the whole country, right? How am I going to work? There's no plan. It's about me telling you how you have been denied of certain things. And I've been there, because look at me. I look exactly like you. Vote for me and I'll make it better. And 10 out of 10, it turns out it's not true. So, and yes, I know how I'm using my words, and I do feel, and I take full responsibility for every single opinion I have, because unfortunately, and this is something that I've always thought, people vote for how you look and sound. They don't care about the plan or how you're going to get there or if it's possible to get there. People get carried away by personalities, and they get carried away by ideas that are not fully constructed. They only get carried away by, oh, I thought that and you thought that, so that's great. So, or, oh, the first female president, like having a vagina all of a sudden makes you more than any other candidate. Again, obviously, people are enamored by concepts and ideas and what they want to see, and they want to be a part of something. So if they can be a part of something, or if they feel like they did something that makes them feel better about themselves, and it has nothing to do with the country as a whole, and it's impossible for people to be like, oh, this is the best candidate, unless you really have analyzed everything. You're voting because, or you are attracted to voting for someone that kind of speaks to you on a certain level. But nobody's perfect. No candidate is the candidate. In my country, the rule is they're always going to get in power and they're going to steal. That's just what it is. And surviving this whole Trump ordeal where everybody thought they were right, it was just exhausting, because it's like, how emotionally invested are you in somebody you have never met in your life? You are not actively doing anything to counteract whatever they are doing. So why are you just filling your mouth with words you cannot understand? But that's a topic of conversation for a different podcast. Okay. So he says, the human mind is like a fertile ground where seeds are continually being planted. The seeds are opinions, ideas, and concepts. You plant a seed, a thought, and it grows. The word is like a seed, and the human mind is so fertile. So again, you have to be able, open to receiving the information and believe in that. So not only Hitler talked to a lot of people in Germany to create the Nazi movement and eventually do what they did, but they were open and available to that idea. They were open and available and accepting of whatever he was saying, because deep down it was resonating with them. So it's not only about the one who says it, but also the one who receives it. So we do have a lot of power when it comes to having conversations with people. And again, we give constantly our power away thinking that we're doing something. So if you have openness to certain ideas, that kind of resonates with your beliefs. And it also shows from that, from those beliefs, it's going to show how you talk to people and how you talk to yourself. So if somebody tells you you're dumb as shit and you already have somewhere in you that belief, you're just going to go ahead and add it to your list of beliefs and accept that and feel bad, because obviously nobody wants to feel that way, or nobody wants to be that way, but it's opening to that idea. If somebody else is told you're a bitch and you don't respond nor react, that means that it doesn't resonate with you because you know who you are. The problem is when you know you don't know who you are and you're constantly looking for somebody to tell you who you are, that's where we run into issues. So he says, one word is like a spell, and humans use the word like black magicians, thoughtlessly putting spells on each other. During our domestication, our parents and siblings gave their opinions about us without even thinking. We believed these opinions, and we lived in fear over these opinions, like not being good at swimming or sports or writing. So when somebody tells you something and you believe them, he says that you're put under a spell because you unconsciously align with that and you believe whatever people are telling you. And that's why many, many, many episodes ago I said, you know, one of the most powerful discoveries that I made, which may sound like duh, but it's not something that I was willing or able to accept, was that your opinion, my friend, is not my truth. And if your opinion affects me some way, just the words, then I have to look at myself because I cannot control what you say, how you say it, or when you're going to say it. And it's not only about you, the other person, it's about everybody because everybody has different opinions. You know how people say opinions are like assholes? Everybody has one. So you can have your opinion about me and you can even choose to tell me without me asking for it. But that doesn't mean that I'm going to accept it in my brain. Remember when one of the quotes that I shared, I don't remember what book it was. I think it was The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. You know, it is of a wise man to entertain a thought without accepting it. I think that was Aristotle. So again, and that doesn't mean that you haven't created boundaries in your life and somebody's going to tell you something and all of a sudden you're just going to let them run amok. It means that deep down, when you go to bed, when you go to sleep, right before, you don't think about it because it doesn't align with anything that's in your inner body. Your energy is not aligned with it because you know who you are, or at the very least, you know who you're not. And you were not brought up in a world where basically you were nothing and you are constantly seeking for approval. And when somebody says something, all of a sudden, we play the victim. We don't have any power over anybody but ourselves. So it says here, you may do something and think to yourself, I wish I were smart, but I must be stupid or I wouldn't have done that. The mind goes in hundreds of different directions and we could spend days getting hooked by just that one belief in our own stupidity. So that's the ego, right? So every single thought you acquired and accepted unconsciously throughout your life, and that's an agreement. You make an agreement, even though you don't choose necessarily to do that. It's something that we all do. We learn from our parents how to look at ourselves and how to see the world. And so if we truly believe what they told us and you grew up in an environment that wasn't emotionally supportive or mentally stable, then you're going to always self-sabotage because you believe you cannot do it. And that's something that happened to Iyanla. That's the last book we talked about. She deep down didn't believe that she was worthy of any success because she still thought deep down that she was bad and she was never going to be shit. And that's something her grandma told her. So there was still something in her that wanted to sabotage her own success and fame. For the simple reason is that she didn't believe she could do it. Because once you believe in yourself, you have to step into that power and take that responsibility. And it can feel overwhelming and a lot because we haven't been told that we can do it. So then he talks about what he means by be impeccable with your words. So the word impeccable means that without a sin. So he says, a sin is anything that you do which goes against yourself. You judge or blame yourself for anything. When you're impeccable, you take responsibility for your actions, but you do not judge or blame yourself. And we have thought that sin is something of moral or religious, Like it's a moral thing or it's a religious thing, but it's just common sense, he says. So, of course, again, self-punishment is so common. We're wasting our time. Now, it doesn't mean that you do something and then you don't care and you said, oh, well, you know, and you begin to blame other people and never take responsibility. It's more about taking ownership and never going down the I am a victim road so you can encounter boohoo lane. It's about you saying, I made a mistake. That's ownership, acknowledgement, and awareness. And then my behavior or actions after that are going to change from that acknowledgement, awareness, and acceptance. I made a mistake, and it's okay to make mistakes, not because it's okay to go and fuck it up every single day, willingly or unwillingly. It's because you are aware that you did something. It was not up to par. It was not something that you would have done if you were in a different situation, and you said, you know what? I did it. I take ownership. Let me learn from this. Let me not hide or deny this. Let me take full responsibility and then let me change and correct my behavior or actions accordingly. And if you make that mistake again, it's when we make mistakes, there's a lot of shame involved because, again, there's the belief that we're bad or we are like Iyanla's grandmother used to say, you're never going to be shit. So we never want to reinforce that belief, even though it's still living in us because that's all we know we were told. So we hide from our mistakes because we don't want people to see our shame. But if we remove shame and blame from the equation, what happens is I make a mistake. It doesn't mean I'm a failure. It doesn't mean I'm a bad person. Let me fix it and let me move forward. You know how easy life would be, but it's not. Because we create our own burdens. Because that's all we know. It says, if I love myself, I will express that love in my interactions with you, and then I am being impeccable with the word. So everything you believe, here it says, we use the word to curse, to blame, to find guilt, to destroy. So everything you believe in you, it's going to manifest in your actions, words, and behaviors. So if you say, oh, you know what, this is all I want. You have a list of things you want, and they all on the surface look positive, but then you do other things that do not support what you wanted to do. That means that you're not being impeccable with your word because you're telling something that is not the truth. Now, it can be something that you hope for it to be true, but truth comes from a truthful place. And if you're living in a life where you're lying to yourself and you are going against yourself, everything that's coming out of that, it's going to be negative or it's going to be against you or others. So in order for us to find impeccability in the word, we have to first go through the healing journey so that we know what, at the very least, we know what we're not. What are we believing that is not the truth? What do we believe that is a truth, but it's actually an opinion? Who told us that and why we believe that and why we defend ideas so much? This is why there's so many issues when it comes to having conversations, because it's always about defending your position, but you don't even know sometimes where that position comes from. Some people just look at headlines and all of a sudden they know better. Okay. And if you're so emotionally invested in protecting an idea, then that's coming from ego. It doesn't mean that you cannot have a conversation, but there's just so much anger and rage surrounding many, many topics, and we cannot have conversations, unfortunately. So he tells a story about a woman that was tired, that came from work. Her little girl was singing. And the woman was so upset that she told the little girl that she had an ugly voice, even though it was not true. So he says that after that, the little girl never wanted to sing, never wanted to talk, had issues having relationships with people or speaking up. So he says here, she believed she must repress her emotions in order to be accepted and loved. The rabbit hole goes deep, like Lovely T says. The rabbit hole goes deep. So any interactions you've had at your most vulnerable is going to have an impact on you. And it's not about going on a journey of blaming everybody for your own issues and challenges. It's about just acknowledging where your beliefs are coming from so that you can clean that up, clear that up, and you can choose how to live without having to go blind through life thinking that you must seek something that you already are. She says, people who love us do black magic on us, but they don't know what they do. This is why we must forgive them. They don't know what they do. And Don Miguel Ruiz is has a family of people who are shamans. So his language is different, but don't dismiss the message. The whole point is that when you speak on something and you speak on it negatively, there's power in those words. And if somebody believes, let's say you tell them, hey, you look sick, and they are very vulnerable and they haven't, you know, realized that they have power and all that, they may believe that and make themselves believe that there's something wrong with them. And so they can really get sick. It's very true how the mind changes the body. And so we have to be really clear and we have to be really mindful about how we talk to everybody. And this is something from the Bible. Forgive them for they don't know what they do, which is what Jesus said. And it's not about people just, again, doing whatever and you put in the other cheek and never holding people accountable. It's understanding the unconsciousness behind their actions and behaviors that doesn't justify them. We're just talking about understanding. So you may not know that that was something wrong to say or do because nobody ever told you, but here I am and I'm going to tell you. Doesn't mean that you're a bad person. No, it's just that house training wise, it was very poor and it was lacking. So now let me show you what it is. Now, if you go ahead and do it again and you know it hurts and you cannot help yourself, that's a different conversation. But usually people that are around us, that we have chosen to have around us, For the most part, if not, you really have to look at your choices, but they don't want to hurt us, but they do. They do. And it may be in the delivery, it may be in the way they speak, what they say. Sometimes some people think it's okay to call you names and that's funny, but it's not. And you have to put the boundaries there. Again, it doesn't mean they're bad. It just means that they haven't had house training. So it says here that the truth will set us free, as in we stop and dismantle, erase these agreements that we have engaged with, agreed to, and we clear it up and we begin again so that we don't perpetuate with our word what we didn't like when we were growing up. And it's funny because we forget really fast, or we block a lot of things that happened to us growing up. And it's very hard for us to go back and really assess the situation. So he asks all of us a question. Do you see how we use the words against ourselves? So negative self-talk. I am fat. I am ugly. I'm not good enough. I need a husband. I need a boyfriend. I'm never going to make it alone. I'm never going to have money. I'm never going to be this. I'm never going to have that. I don't deserve this. Blah, blah, blah. This whole, again, you go straight to victim mentality road and you cross Boohoo Lane and you get out of Poor Me Avenue. That's a problem. How you talk to yourself just reinforces what other people told you you should believe of yourself and reinforces the idea that you're never going to be able to get out of that place. It's not about being wealthy beyond means, but it's about acknowledging that you have enough and that you're able to make more without being emotionally invested in it. And perpetuating these stories bring us down by reinforcing the opinions of others. And what if that person at that particular time, mom or dad, grandma or auntie, when you were younger, told you something when they were in distress, when they were busy, when they were tired? It had nothing to do with you, my dear. It had everything to do with them. but we took it and then we ran with it. So what is the story you have been told, or what is the story you tell yourself when you are up against a wall? When things look like something's going to happen, if I don't get a paycheck, everything's going to fall apart. Like, how did we get here? And that's how I started this whole podcast. How did we get here? Your opinion comes from your beliefs, your own ego, and your own dream. You will only receive a negative idea if your mind is fertile ground for that idea. So there's no, oh, she said this and that's why I said that, or, oh, because, you know, he did this, especially in relationships. They can get really toxic, you know, a romantic relationship. Oh, well, he said this, so I keyed his car. She said that, so I burned her stuff. Whatever, and that's why. When we begin to do that, when we do that conditional of, well, if you hadn't said that, I wouldn't have done that, then we are just not taking responsibility for our actions. That means that the world is responsible for every single thing we do, which is not true. You, my friend, are responsible for every single thing you do, every action you take, every behavior. And it's not up to the world, because it's constantly changing. You're exposed to different environments and people, and we don't know what they mean when they say something. Like, did you really mean it that way? Or, like, we have to ask. We have to open that communication, but it's a muscle we must build. It's something we must constantly work on, because we are taught not to say, not to do, stay quiet, stay silent. So all these questions and thoughts and opinions stay in our brains, and we're not able to really come to a healthy mindset, because we're always thinking, oh, did she say this? Did she say that? We begin to build resentment without any actual foundation for it. And we wait for something to happen so that we can just go on the attack. That's why a lot of people, when they are out on the streets, traffic or drive-throughs, whatever, they carry a lot what the Eckhart Tolle says, the pain bodies. They're just waiting to strike again. We're not able to have communications. We're not able to sit down and have conversations, because a lot of us have grown up in environments that have been so abusive, and we're constantly on survival mode, that we're not willing or able to see what is. We're only able to see the dream, as Don Miguel Ruiz says. That, again, that doesn't mean we're going to justify people. It means that that's why people behave the way they behave. And this might not be about them. This might be directly to you. This message might be for you. So don't try to see, to think about, oh, well, you know, yeah, I know someone. No, you might be that someone. Don't even try. Let's begin to be honest about this. It's very hard for us to look in the mirror, but the only way this is going to end is when we begin to look in the mirror and really say what we mean and mean what we say in a way that it's supporting our growth, in a loving way, in a well-spoken way. It doesn't mean that you don't have to be truthful. It just means that you don't have to call yourself a bitch when you can choose another word. It's about choices. It's about choosing how to talk to yourself, because when you were growing up and that's how you learn how to talk, nobody ever told you another way, but now it's time. And if you don't know, figure it out. Listen to someone else. Hence why these books are important. Hence why these conversations are important. Yes, we may not know how to talk to ourselves in a loving way, but let's first define what we have been saying to ourselves for so long that has not been helping. It doesn't help. So let's begin to be honest. Nobody's a bad guy. Nobody's a good guy. What happened? How did we get here? And with that, I say till next time. Bye.